Welcome to Coffee Table Mythos. I'm Eliza.
And I'm Leah.
Grab your favorite beverage and let's talk myths. Before we talk myths, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking Body Tech Critical Aminos XT in strawberry lemonade flavor in a giant blender bottle because I do not feel so hot. And I figured I should probably hydrate instead of drink excessive amounts of caffeine today. Like a good little adult.
Yeah.
What are you drinking?
I'm drinking Thermogenic Fuel Rain Inferno. Flavor is true blue. I was hydrating quite a bit before. I decided to open this lovely can. It is like midday. Do you want to talk about the journey of why you do not feel so good today? That occurred in the previous day.
So Eliza was really excited because I guess she saw an ad somewhere about this mead.
Facebook.
And we looked up where they sold it. So we took like a 2.5 hour drive one way to find this mead so that she could try it. And it was a very long drive. And then we got there and had to turn around and come back. It was pretty.
It was pretty.
It was raining. Which I like when it rains, so that wasn't bad, but it was just a very long drive.
Now, it's a very specific mead. The mead's actually made in Vermont. And I could have paid to have it shipped here, but that would have cost, like, triple the amount of just, like, a single 4-pack of beer for me to have it shipped to our house. And it is called Groenfell. I hope I'm saying this correctly. Groenfell Meadery. It's spelled Groenfell. They have a lot of different mead, but the one that they're well known for is called the Valkyrie's Choice, which is gluten-free, in case any of you like are really interested in that. The ingredients is literally water, honey, potassium sorbate to protect the flavor, and sulfites, and that's it. And it tastes very much like honey. Like, very much like honey. It's a woman independent-owned company. It is certified. It was based on Viking-era ceremonial meads. Valkyrie's Choice is fermented completely dry. It tastes like, it's like a honey juice to me. And so, like, it's very, very easy to drink a pint and be like, oh my god. Very good stuff. We're not sponsored by them in any way, shape, or form, but I highly recommend if you have one. An area where they sell it, it's worth the drive. We definitely got different flavors. Today I wanted to talk about the Valkyrie's Choice because that's the one I tried last night. And then we got like one of each of the different types of mead flavors and then some of their other flavor mead.
So needless to say, yesterday was a bit of a
drive.
Adventure.
Mm-hmm. Originally Dova was with us. And then we were like, okay, we're going to take this long drive. We didn't decide where we were going until we were like at a gas station.
Realizing that we had no gas.
Yeah, so that was fun. We didn't come back until, like, was it 8 p.m.?
At least. I think it was closer to 8:30. It was pretty much dark.
Yeah, we had a very long drive.
It was pretty dark the rest of the day, though, because of how cloudy it was from the rain.
Yeah, it was, like, cloudy and rainy. But right now, I am just drinking caffeine and water. Lots of it.
So we are currently recording on Memorial Day weekend, mm-hmm. But this will be coming out the first weekend in June.
Oh, Patreon. I want to make this known before. So we've been, like, advertising that we had a Patreon for, like, months. I don't know at what point they disabled it, because I went to go check it yesterday, because we were listening to another podcast.
Willing and Fable.
Willing and Fable. Leah was introducing me to them, because apparently they started their podcast, like, a week prior to us.
A month prior to us.
And I was like, wow, they're really good. But Leah, I have to remind her that we can't compare ourselves to other podcasters because we're our own podcast and they're really cool. So they were talking about their Patreon. I was like, oh, I wonder how our Patreon's doing. So I checked it. I was like, it's been disabled due to security purposes of inactivity. So we are sorry. There is no Patreon at the moment. We're trying to figure out how we're going to get that all situated again. So, yep. That was my announcement.
So, we ready?
Yes.
Alrighty. So, as some of you may know, June is my birthday month, or as we call it in my family, our hatching day instead of birthday. which my mom swears we were all born because she was there. But, I mean, the rest of us are pretty sure we all hatched from eggs that were just found places.
Sorry.
So, first of all, I can't even believe that it's already June.
Right.
It just feels like last week it was January and we're already at the end of May going into June.
It's been going by pretty fast.
Outrageously fast.
Outrageously fast. How old will you be turning this June?
I'm turning 30.
Level 30, though.
I'm leveling up to 30, which is a good number because yeah. I like the number 3.
Mm-hmm.
So I am determined all of my 30 levels are going to be good.
Yeah.
Because one of my favorite numbers is 31, so that'll be next year.
And you're like, this better be a fucking good year.
33 will be good because that's 3 duplicated. 39 will be good because that's 3 times 3. 3 and 9. So, it's gonna be good. I'm determined. Determined.
Are you?
I am. I will fight you people.
Alright, let's make it happen.
So, my birthday happens to fall on June 21st. And that's why I'm going to be talking about the summer solstice.
Okay, guys, for anybody listening, she told me she was not going to tell me what she was doing until she was recording with me. So all the reactions are definitely genuine.
Well, and also, so that's actually, I forgot I didn't tell you what I was researching because that comment I made was about a very particular thing I'm going to talk about.
Oh.
Not about the general topic. So up until like last night, I still didn't know what I was researching because like first I was going to do the summer solstice and then I was like, no, I've done a lot of festivals, so I'm going to do a creature. And then I found a couple creatures and the creatures didn't have enough information to go on. So I was frustrated.
She was very frustrated.
And like tired because of this drive. And I was like, I have to research because we have to record tomorrow. And I ended up crying. I was just like a mess.
It was to the point where I even suggested, maybe we'll just take off 2 weeks this month so we can prepare for our 1 year anniversary. And she was like, no!
Yeah, definitely not. That was like even worse on the anxiety than not having finished my research for today.
I was trying to be
helpful.
Helpful, and it backfired really bad. I was like, I'm so sorry.
So I was like, you know what? Screw it. I am going to talk about the summer solstice. It's our podcast. I'm gonna do it.
Okay, good.
It's my birthday. I can do it. So, also because it's our podcast, it's gonna have a little bit of science in it and not just mythos. So, the solstices happen on opposite ends of the year. The summer solstice is the day when we have the most daylight in one day that we are gonna have all year. So, in the northern hemisphere, it generally falls somewhere between June 20th and June 22nd. And as such, at least part of it usually falls on my birthday. So, it happens because the northern hemisphere of the Earth is tilted towards the sun. The North Pole during this time has 187 days of 24-hour sunlight.
Oh, damn.
That is a very long time.
Mm-mm.
While places on the Arctic Circle have 30 days of 24-hour sun. So, I can't even imagine living somewhere that has that much sunlight, let alone on the opposite side, the darkness, for as long. Like, I love the dark, but at that point, I just sleep whenever the hell I wanted.
Right.
So, according to my new favorite website, which is etymonline.com, the word solstice comes from Old French solstice, which comes from Latin solstinium, which means the point at which the sun seems to stand still.
The way you just said that made me think of my big fat Greek wedding. All words derived from Greek. I'm like, it's gone from French to Latin. Where's the Greek?
Almost. After the summer solstice, the days begin to shorten until the winter solstice, with the equinox being the day where daylight and darkness are equal. The shortening days is my least favorite part of my birthday because when the days start to get shorter, it means winter's approaching, and winter means the green goes away, which makes me sad. As a plant person, it makes me really sad.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was gonna say, as someone who studied plants, I know, logically, logical brain Leah knows they're just sleeping, they're dormant, but my, I guess, animal brain Leah sees it and goes, "Everything's dead! Everything is dead!"
Do you want to tell them the difference between our perspectives when it comes down to winter? Like, how I would say something about it, and you're like, you see things very differently.
You tell them. How do you see winter?
I can't remember what I used to tell I would tell you. I think it was something about, like, oh, it's like they're sleeping, or something like that. And you'd just be like...
I don't really remember us having that conversation. I know how much you like the snow and the ice.
I think it's beautiful. I love winter.
Yeah. Well, you also... So, Eliza's from California originally.
Oh my god.
So, they don't have that many seasons. And one of their seasons is fire season.
Listen, okay, it's pretty much summer and spring all year round.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the Santa Ana winds come in, fires are more likely to happen and wreak havoc. So while I watched all these TV shows and movies where people were like, oh my god, it's a snow day! Like, it's fire outside and I can't go out or I'll just breathe in the smoke. That was my upbringing, so...
Yeah. So when she first moved to the East Coast, you know, 12 some years ago, it was like seasons, magical sparkles around because she was so enthused.
I was very enthused. And like, most people are like, I hate the cold. I can feel the cold on my face and it feels like a knife stabbing me. And I'm like, the cold is so cool. It's so nice. I love it. It's wonderful. It's like I don't have to worry... I've had this discussion at work multiple times. Do you prefer it to be warm all the time or cold all the time? I'm like, I'd rather be cold because I can get warm a lot easier than I can cool down.
Correct.
That has been my life struggle. And I like it where it's cold. That's just how I am. Like, you tell me, so you're going to move to like Nova Scotia or you're going to move to someplace where it's cold all the time. I'd be like, sign me the fuck up. I just need some more clothes and we good.
We already have like an obscene number of hoodies.
I was born in the summertime, bred for the winter. It makes no sense.
So, I was driving the other day, and there was this... They were talking on the radio about what was something that you loved when you were a kid, but you hate now. And the thing that came to mind was snow days, because as a kid on the East Coast, you woke up early and watched the bottom of the TV for the scrolling counties to see, like, if your county came up. And then if you blinked and you missed your county, you'd have to wait for the scroll again to make sure that your county was off for school.
They did that first fire days for us.
Yeah, so, like, it was fun, and snow days were great because you didn't have to go to school. But now I'm, like, a mandatory employee.
So even if it is, like, the school system's closed, you're like, I still have to fucking go in.
Yeah, and because a lot of my coworkers are like, oh no, I have kids, I can't come in because they're off, or, oh, I'm scared to drive. Like, it could be blizzarding out, and I'm the reliable one that has to go into work.
Yeah.
Which usually I don't have a problem with, but when I compare it to when I was a kid and didn't have to do shit when it snowed.
Right.
It's like, damn, I wish I didn't have to do shit when it snowed anymore.
Like, for me, if the state is granting, I think it's like liberal leave or whatever, like you can't leave for whatever reason. Like, there was a day like that where it was just like you were walking on ice.
Mm-hmm.
And it was still raining ice. I literally called my workplace and I was like, I can't physically get to my car. I'm using a shovel to get myself to and from everywhere. I do not have the proper footwear for this. If I had, like, spikes on my boots, I could have made it happen. But I did not, so...
I remember that day because I had to break the ice off around my door frame to get into my car.
Yeah.
To turn it on so it could start defrosting because, like, the car was covered in a centimeter of ice. And then on top of the ice was 4 to 6 inches of snow, depending on where on your car it was.
Yeah.
So, like, you thought you were getting it all off, and then you got down to the ice layer, and you were like, what the fuck?
Yeah. So, like, I actually got to my car, and I started, like, getting the stuff off, and I saw the ice, and I was like, I do not have enough grip on my feet to do both things at the same time.
No.
It's not gonna happen.
Yeah, I had to brace myself partially on the curb in order to get any kind of angle to clean off the car. It was awful.
And that was way earlier than when I was trying to go into work, because you went into work at like 6 something in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was going into work at like 8 something.
So it was also dark.
Yeah.
And we were working by the street lights.
So anyway, that was a fun experience. But now we're in summertime.
why is the solstice important? Jumping back to the solstice, because we went down a couple bunny
holes. We did. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry, really.
So there are so many people that celebrate the summer solstice, including people of Celtic descent, Irish pagans, neo-pagans, and Wiccans. There's a large celebration at Stonehenge on the summer solstice, which is believed to be an important religious site of early Britons from 4,000 years ago. On the summer solstice, the sun rises above the heel stone and shines into the center of the circle. And on the winter solstice, the sun falls behind the trilithon stones. And scientists actually believe that it aligns better with the winter solstice.
Oh.
But because they're on opposite ends of the years, it automatically lines up with the summer solstice on the other side.
That's kind of cool.
So people wait there to watch the sunrise.
Mm-hmm.
And they also do dancing and singing. And there's time to reflect on love and growth, both personal and natural. And
I would like to take part.
Yeah. It looked kind of neat. Cleansing and renewal.
That seems pretty cool.
So the reason we don't have definitive answers on what Stonehenge was used for is because written language first developed in England around the 5th century CE and in Ireland around the 4th century CE. But the oldest part of Stonehenge was built circa 3000 BCE.
Jeez!
So we don't have that written evidence to say, this is put up because of X, Y, Z. So it's just basically we're going off of archaeological findings.
I was about to ask you a stupid question.
What's your stupid question?
My stupid question was going to ask you if you've ever been there, but I know you haven't been there because you've never left the States. Well, other than going to Canada.
I've gone to Canada.
You've gone to Canada. I've been there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I listened to the little audio, because my sister was so like, oh my god, if I come to England and I don't get to go to Stonehenge, I am going to fucking riot. So we went. It was out of the way, but we went. Because of where we were going. And we got the little, like, headsets. Because this is back in, like, the early 2000s when we were in middle school. So I'm, like, this angsty 12-year-old.
It's hard to imagine you being angsty, like, ever. Because you're, like, a ray of sunshine.
I was super fucking angsty because I did not like any of the clothes that I was wearing because that was all I had. That sounds so fucking superficial, I know. But it was, like, if you guys knew, you'd understand. But anyway, I was super angsty. I was just, like, putting my headphones on, putting the audio person on, and I was listening to all the different theories. And the theories get kind of fucking wild, but they're really cool. Like, you could do a whole episode on Stonehenge.
Yeah.
But anyways, please continue.
But no, I have not been there. I would want to go to, if I had to choose a single place outside of the U.S., my first place I would want to go is Ireland.
Yes!
And then, like, if I had enough time to kind of, like, journey around the islands, I would also want to see Scotland and England. But Ireland would be my first choice.
I would like to venture into Norway.
Right. Like, that would be further down the list of places we do want to see.
I
want
to go to Norway, Scotland, and Ireland. England I've been to once. I know it's probably changed since the last time I was there because it was, like, over 10 years ago. Gods, it's been over 10 years.
It's been over 15 years. If you were 12.
No, don't do that to me. Oh my god, no. Stop looking at me like that. I feel
almost
old.
18 years, you could say.
Shut the fuck up. Go away. I can't with you right now. How dare you bring my age into this? You're right.
For anyone who hasn't picked it up, Eliza is 3 months younger than me. Not even 3 months, a few days short of 3 months.
Like, ever since we first met, she has put that in my face. I'm older than you. Respect your elders. I'm like, bitch, you're only, like, a few months older than me. Calm the fuck down. She says with, like, a wily smile.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be, like, 90-some years old in a fucking rocking chair and you're still gonna talk about it.
Probably.
Yeah.
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 That's how that's gonna go.
Yet, of your sisters, you are the youngest.
I'm the baby.
And of my siblings,
you're the middle child.
I'm the middle / oldest, depending on the dynamic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, generally, modern pagan practices celebrate the summer solstice to honor light, strength, the sun, and fertility. Though every person's practice is likely to have differences. Some common ways to celebrate include bonfires. Whoop, whoop.
Gotta love a good fire. Safely, though.
Please be safe.
Please be safe.
Family or community gatherings, food and drink. But if you can't have a bonfire, lighting candles is also an option.
Which we do.
Always. It's a good time to meditate on the light and dark forces of the world as the days will begin to shorten from here. And some people begin their hand fasting on this day.
Oh.
Also, Bealtaine is like the other really big day for hand fasting.
Okay.
So in Wiccan traditions, the summer solstice is when the Holly King and the Oak King fight each other to see who's going to rule for the next 6 months. Inevitably, the Oak King loses and the Holly King rules from the summer solstice to the winter solstice, where they fight to rule again.
Every year, twice a year,
yep,
they fight. And the same usually wins.
Right. So at the summer solstice, the Holly King will always win. And at the winter solstice, the Oak King will always win.
So here's my question.
Yeah.
I don't know how many of our listeners have watched Monty Python and the Holy Grail, but they reference something that I think is kind of, like, interesting, where they talk about how, like, the seasons kind of, like, sometimes skip a season. And it's just, like, sometimes it feels like in real life that happens. And I don't know about you, but I felt like last year we didn't really have much of a winter. It was just a very, 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 very long autumn.
A very mild winter.
A mild winter.
And then we had two, like, really bad snowstorms late in... it was almost spring by the time we were having them.
Yeah. So...
yeah, the part where they were like, and summer turned into autumn, which turned into winter, and then they skipped right over spring and went straight back into autumn.
Yeah. Like, that's how it sometimes feels here. So I'm wondering if that's ever taken into note, like...
probably not.
But if it's, like, just directly associated with the light of the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the lore.
Okay. I was just wondering.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's not your fault. I was just wondering because I was thinking about it.
But yeah, it's based on the celestial cycles, not the weather cycles of the planet.
Which is what I had confused. Mobby.
So the summer solstice is now considered to be the beginning of summer. But in some cultures, it's considered the middle of summer, or called midsummer, or midsomer, depending on the country.
Mm.
Which, like, if you think about it, that time of year is really hot, so it can feel like the middle of summer, but celestially, we're considering it the beginning of actual summer, and then it ends on the equinox. So, other cultures also celebrate the summer solstice. Sweden has Midsommarstång festivities.
Ooh.
With traditional foods available, flower crowns, and folk dances.
Mm.
Norway and Finland celebrate with huge bonfires. A lot of fire. A lot of these have fire-related stuff.
It's a common theme.
I'm here for it.
Yep.
Iceland has a three-day celebration called the Secret Solstice Midnight Sun Music Festival.
So it's secret, but not...
no.
Okay.
And this is why I was, this was what I was like, I'm not going to tell you about until we record.
Oh, okay. I thought it was before, but let's keep going.
Yeah, no. So the Secret Midnight Sun Music Festival, and they have musicians from all around the world playing. It's in Reykjavik, Iceland.
Okay.
And it has a strong connection to Norse mythology.
You should have led with that.
Nope. I put it towards the end.
Oh my God.
In 2019, they had a rave in a glacier cave. They also had an Icelandic concert in a 5,200-year-old magma chamber.
That sounds dangerous.
I mean, it's old. It's not active.
Still gives me chills.
They have food and alcohol on site. And if I liked crowds, this would seem super cool. I do not like crowds.
I'd have to trick you.
This sounds like a nightmare.
I'd have to be like, hey, Leah, take this Valium and come over here. Aren't the lights pretty? Yes. Okay, stay right there. Don't get taken by anybody. Actually, I'm going to just wrap a string around your waist and it's going to be attached to me.
I'm going
to
have a monkey bag leash.
Yeah.
A monkey backpack leash.
It's like, just give you plenty of food. And have plenty of meds, and you'll be good to go.
So, some festivals throughout Europe are connected with John the Baptist, such as the one in Latvia, where they also have the flower and leaf crowns, and it's called Jāni. This festival comes with beer, cheese, and parties.
Wait, hold up. John the Baptist.
Yeah, so some of the pagan festivals have been, like,
Christianized
and now are associated with John the Baptist, kind of like how Walpurgisnacht is because of Saint Walpurga. There's apparently a day-long yoga event in Times Square, New York. There's a Midnight Sun baseball game and festival in Fairbanks, Alaska.
Okay.
And Seattle, Washington has a festival called Fremont. I want to say Fremont, but there's not enough E's. So I think it's Fremont Fair. The pictures give me like a pride parade vibe.
That's pretty cool.
It has craft markets, live music, parades, including a nude bicyclist parade where the bicyclists are just covered in body paint.
I just have Queen, I Want to Ride My Bicycles running through my head right now. That is all that's running through my head as you're describing that.
I'm sure that's their theme song.
Uh-huh.
Like YOLO. I'd be worried that something would get caught.
Have you seen the music video, the original music video for the Queen, I Want to Ride My Bicycle?
No.
It's naked people riding bicycles.
Well, then maybe it really is their theme song. I was being facetious, but no, it's possible.
It's the thing.
So then in Spain, they have bonfires and fireworks. Love me some good fireworks. In Russia and the Ukraine, there's bonfire jumping. They take the flower wreaths and they float them down like waterways. And they also have skinny dipping. In Austria, in the Tyrol region, they light fires along the mountain ridges, like the top of the mountains. Mm-hmm. And it looks like the whole mountain is topped with embers. It was actually a really pretty picture.
Mm.
And in Ottawa, Canada, they have an Indigenous festival that focuses on the traditions of First Nations people.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. And in my family, I get bought presents because it's my hatching day. And generally, at least some of us are having fires.
Right.
And then one of my good friends' birthdays, like, I've known her since we were 5. And her birthday is the day after mine. And we were actually born in the same hospital. So our moms were in the hospital at the same time. So we're the solstice babies.
Solstice babies.
Yeah, Sarah and me. Sarah and I.
Oh, Sarah. Mm-hmm. She's so sweet.
Yes. She is the most cupcake I know.
She really likes pigs.
She adores pigs. Yes. And warthogs. Anything pig related.
Yep.
Yeah, so like I was saying, summer solstice is like a bittersweet time for me because like I love that it's the longest day and it's the beginning of summer, but it's also like reminds me that the days are gonna get shorter. So I have that like existential dread that the darkness is coming.
Oh my God.
And then like I love the dark by itself.
I am a creature of the dark.
But I get like seasonal depression, okay?
You need a lamp.
I have a lamp, but it's at work.
Oh.
So
a house lamp.
Yeah, I need a portable happy lamp. It's just like fall while everything's still pretty and colorful is okay. But the end of fall into all winter and then into the very beginning of spring before like things are turning green is just very, very hard for me. So it's not my favorite. However, please enjoy your summer this year. We were all robbed of last year's summer because of the pandemonium.
Pandorama.
So this is your personal style pepperoni pizza. This has been your PSA / your homework assignment to have a couple of weeks to plan what you're going to do for the summer solstice so that you can have fun and be safe. And if this encourages you to have a solstice celebration, you should tag us so that we can see pictures.
Because we really appreciate people reaching out to us. We think it's really cool.
Yeah.
And we've had more people, as the time has gone by, reach out to us. Be like, oh my gosh, you guys should do this topic. Or, oh my gosh, we really like listening to your stuff. Here's this stuff. And it's like, oh my gosh, thank you. We really do appreciate everybody that's like...
Connecting
with us. We really do.
So that is the summer solstice.
We will be right back. And we're back.
So what are you telling us about today?
So, there's a few... Well, okay, well, let's start off this way. Everyone knows about leprechauns. By knowing about leprechauns, they know of leprechauns because of, like, St. Patrick's Day. So, everyone knows, like, the common characteristic of, like, the leprechaun with the pot of gold and the... Yeah, we're not talking about the leprechaun today. not, like, specifically. We're talking about the Cluricon. I'm hoping I'm saying that correctly. It starts with a C. They are mischievous fae creatures in Irish folklore, known for a great love of drinking and tendencies to haunt breweries, pubs, and wine cellars.
Oh, they sound like a fun old time. They're yes. Like, we're gonna haunt this meadery.
Basically. Now, they like wine cellars more specifically, it seems.
So, like, wine more than beer?
Well, they still drink. Like, it's weird. So, I'll get into that. But what better times to write a podcast research on a spirit-loving fae than while partaking in some honey sweet mead myself? I literally wrote that, and that was the last thing I wrote before I stopped writing.
Last night.
I had to stop.
What a better time to write this. I'm going to stop writing now.
I'm going to stop writing now before I do something stupid. Okay. So I actually had to stop writing while drinking because I did not realize how strong the mead was until I had already finished a pint and started on your pint that you did not finish.
I didn't like it.
So the other type we called was like a line called Havoc Mead.
Same company. Different line, yeah.
Different line. And the one she was drinking was called Psychopomp, which has tart cherry juice added to basically the same kind of base as what I was already drinking.
Yeah, I thought I was going to like it because I like cherries.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was tart cherry juice, it was more like akin to the tart cherry juice I drink half the month anyway. And it was just like, it's not my favorite drink.
No.
So,
but I originally
couldn't drink it.
I got that flavor so she could try it. So, like, I wasn't upset because I got a lot of different flavors.
She's not kidding about that, guys.
No, I'm not.
The guy at the beer store was like, do you need a tray? And I honestly expected you to be like, no, I'm just here for the Valkyrie Choice Mead. And you were like, yeah, I'm going to need a tray. And I was like, oh, shit. Okay.
Well, this was my reasoning.
We weren't making that drive
again. We're not making that drive again. And the next time I plan on buying that mead is either it's going to be closer or we're in another state, we're drinking it there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, we are already someplace else.
Yeah. Like, I would not mind going to Vermont to that place to try it out there.
I do want to go to Vermont one day.
I love the idea of going to Vermont because I love everything with maple. And I hear they have good maple things. They also do not have toll roads. I know that
good
because of where I work. But anyway. Yes. So, I had to stop and then I had to finish my writing down of the research today.
So, we were both procrastinating a little bit.
A little bit. Like, I knew what I was doing my stuff on. I just hadn't written it down yet because my work right now, it's been a lot later in the night from my finishing of work. So, the Cluricon is related to the well-known leprechaun. Some lore has the Cluricon and leprechaun characteristics combined, for example, being a guardian of treasure or being a shoemaker. But some believe a Cluricon is just a leprechaun that went on a drinking binge.
That's really funny. I was gonna say I've never heard of the shoemaker part.
We're gonna have to go over leprechauns at some point. While others discuss the Cluricon being a regional variation.
Okay, that makes sense.
Much like the leprechaun, the Cluricon is a solitary fae, usually encountered alone rather than amongst a group, such as like a trooping fairy. A very famous work featuring the Cluricon is the tale titled The Haunted Cellar, written by Thomas Croker in 1825. A Cluricon by the name of Naganine haunts an Irish lord's wine cellar, drinking all in sight and playing pranks on the servants. Now, I will actually do tell a variation of it that I found online. Croker describes the Cluricon as 6 inches in height, twinkling eyes.
Damn, that's small.
Yeah. He has twinkling eyes and a reddish-purple nose from drinking so much. Wears a red nightcap, a short leather apron, blue stockings, and shoes with large silver buckles.
Well, that's very useful for you because it tells you exactly what you need to draw
exactly.
This week.
And another tale, titled Master and Men, a young man by the name of Billy MacDaniel is offered a glass of liquor on a winter walk home to warm himself, and he's offered this glass by a Cluricon. Due to refusing to pay for the libation, which he did accept and drank, the Cluricon puts Billy in servitude to be paid over the course of 7 years and a day. specifically.
That is a long time to work for a beer.
It said something about how it only, like, took a sip or something.
Oh, damn. That's even worse.
It was actually liquor.
Oh, still.
Still. So Billy breaks the servitude by invoking the blessing of God. So this version of the Clericon can pass through keyholes to invade homes and transforms bog rushes into horses to be used as mounts.
Hmm.
They also have the ability to fly through the air on rushes similar to witches on broomsticks.
Mm-hmm.
In Thomas Keatley's Fairy Mythology from 1828, the story of a Clericon named Little Wildbean, who was an uncharacteristically more kind version of a Clericon.
I just really like the name Wildbean.
Well, it kind of gets scary. Give me a second. So he's, like, super kind. However, when slighted, he became violent and angry quickly. So he haunted a wine cellar of a Quaker man named Harris, and the cook would leave Wildbean food. And if the beer barrel was left running, Wildbean would wedge himself inside to stop the flow until someone turned it off. One night, the cook left cold potatoes and a small part of a herring, and that's all that was left out. So, at midnight, Wildbean dragged the cook out of bed and to the wine cellar, bashing her all on the stairs the whole way.
Oh my gosh.
Leaving her battered and bruised to the point where she was bedridden for 3 weeks. You don't fuck with a Clericon.
Well, that's pretty in line with, like, any of the fair folk. You don't
fuck with
off.
Them. Yes. So, when I was reading stuff on them, it was saying they're usually slow to anger, but when you anger them, they get back at you. Which I will get into the more specifics later on. Again in the story, Harris attempted to move away to get rid of the Clericon, but the Clericon followed him. Which is a very common theme. Once you got one, you're not getting rid of it. It's stuck with you. It attaches itself to families.
Well, maybe they should start drinking bad liquor.
In 1855, a folklorist, Nicholas O'Kearney, described the Clericon as a jolly, red-faced, drunken little fellow. But also, he states, any wine cellar known to be haunted by this sprite was doomed to bring its owner to speedy ruin. Although a trickster, mischievous, and known to disturb peace, the Clericon also took care in protecting the family they attached themselves to, both the property of the family and their lives.
As long as they were treated well.
As long as they were treated well and not interfered with, and they were allowed to drink whatever the fuck they wanted. They also enjoy pipe smoking, and they know the secret of making beer from heather, the plant.
I figured.
You never know if a person named Heather is listening, so...
They're lurking.
They're lurking, yes. The Clericon is often depicted with a jug of ale, wearing a leather apron with a hammer in hand, whistling while working, carries a magical purse, or pewter beggar's cup, with varying properties. It could contain a shilling, also known as the lucky shilling, that always returns to the purse no matter how often it is spent.
That's convenient.
Or it could be full of money. Which is why a lot of humans would try to catch him.
Mm-hmm.
He has the power to vanish if a person looks away for an instant, and can have two purses, one with the magic shilling and another with a normal copper coin. And normally, what happens is if this guy got caught, he would give the copper coin, not the shilling.
That's smart.
It is said he knows the location of hidden treasure, much like a leprechaun, and if caught, can be forced to reveal its location. One of his tricks is to create multiple treasure markers so the seeker may not know its exact whereabouts. And all I kept on thinking about was ESO with its artifacts thing. If you don't get the puzzle exactly right and you have, like, all these different areas you have to look at.
Oh my gosh, yes.
I was like, oh, is this where they found that? Like, according to leprechaunmuseum.ie, many stories of Clericon are found in Munster, known as Ireland's southern province. This website gave a list of do's and don'ts when around Clericon, which I found fun. So what you do if you find yourself amongst a Clericon, you double check you are speaking with a leprechaun versus a Clericon, because leprechauns are rather insulted if mistaken, but easily differentiated by their clothing, for sure. Clericons wear more reds and plum colors, while leprechauns wear earth tones.
Good to know.
You always want to listen to their stories. Apparently they are excellent wordsmiths. You leave out food for them because leaving them food, good food, can bring an inclination for the Clericon to leave money or good fortune to the household.
Makes sense.
What you don't want to do is take your eyes off of them because they will vanish with your beer or wine. You do not want to anger them because they can turn your milk sour, stop hens from laying eggs, cause family and household to come down with pox, make cattle fall ill, make sheep break their pens, and beat you to the point of being bedridden for weeks.
Right.
And don't try to get away from them. They will follow you and attach themselves to families, mostly noble ones, for their best wine. There's a really good abridged version of the Thomas Crofton Croker's Haunted Cellar found here. Let me one second. I pull that up so I can read it to y'all. There once was a man named Justin McCarthy, who lived in his family home in Ballinacarthy. He was a wealthy man from a wealthy family and had inherited the house, including its extensive wine cellar. Now, before I keep on going further, this is an abridged version of the story.
And where did you find that?
It was on leprechaunmuseum.ie. Though he is wealthy, he was also generous, often sharing his wine with others, and the locals said that he was a good employer to his household staff. Despite this, he could not keep a butler in his employ for very long, as every time he would send his butler to the wine cellar, they would return pale as a ghost and refuse to return to its depths. Mr. McCarthy would then, invariably, have to retrieve the wine himself. In Mr. McCarthy's employ was a young lad named Jack, who worked in the stables. Jack had heard the stories about the cellar and thought that he was braver than all the others, and whatever was down there was worth the raise in status and wages being Mr. McCarthy's butler would bring him. He offered his service to Mr. McCarthy as his butler, and, as Mr. McCarthy was a fair man, he was given the position on a trial basis. All was well for a while, and Jack worked diligently to prove his worth in this new position. One day, Mr. McCarthy decided to go hunting with some friends and instructed Jack that after dinner they would like some wine to pass the evening. Near the stroke of midnight, the wine was called for, and Jack ventured to the wine cellar with a basket to fill with bottles. He crept down the stairs, thinking that there was nothing to fear waiting down there for him. But as he heard the cellar door, he heard a crashing from inside, followed by maniacal laughter. "It's just my mind playing tricks on me," Jack muttered aloud. And he took the large brass key to the cellar door, turned it in the lock, and ventured inside. As he enters, the laughter grew louder and louder until it filled the entire room, shaking the racks of wine almost from their shelves and scaring poor Jack half to death. He heard a great crashing coming towards him, as if a wild animal had been let loose in the cellar. He fell backwards, and as quickly as he could crawl backwards, out of the cellar. Shaking like a leaf, he raced back to the drawing room, where Mr. McCarthy and his friends were awaiting his return with the wine. Upon seeing Jack's ghostly white face and trembling, Mr. McCarthy stormed down to the cellar. He burst into the room and was met by a tiny little man, wearing a red nightcap with a ruddy complexion, who hiccuped. "That's it," roared Mr. McCarthy. "I've had it with you chasing my butlers away and scaring the life out of them. You've drank my wine and abused my generosity for far too long. I'm moving away tomorrow, and you are never to darken my door again." The Cluricon grinned up at Mr. McCarthy. "Well, sir, in that case, I will follow you. I will follow you and your wine to the ends of the earth if needs be. I am here to protect your wine from them that would take it from us. I mean you." The Cluricon corrected himself. Mr. McCarthy sighed, took the wine from the cellar, and went back to his friends. Jack remained his butler, but did not venture into the wine cellar ever again, and Mr. McCarthy would have to fetch his own wine, carefully guarded by the Cluricon, of course, until the end of his days.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
So, like, he didn't have a problem with the owner of the house getting it, but he always scared the butlers.
Yes.
He considered the butlers, like, taking it.
Yes, they were thieves to him. So if you're of the family that he's protecting, or himself, it's okay to touch the wine.
Okay.
But if you are not, if you are a servant, he thought it was stealing. He's like, "No, no, you cannot touch this. This is our wine and our beer. You cannot touch it unless I say it's okay."
That's really interesting.
Yes, I thought it was kind of cool. Now, the Cluricon are found prominent characters in the first storybook from Four Different Faces by C.J. Kane. They're a regular character in Neil Gaiman's comic series, The Sandman. And it's also found in Neil Gaiman's spin-off series, The Dreaming. Here, they are still a drunkard, but portrayed as a tall, elegant blonde fairy. Possibly the appearance is manipulated by glamour. They are also featured in the Fairyland series of fantasy novels by Catherine M. Valente, following a 12-year-old girl named September. Here, there is a Cluricon named Gratchling Gourdborn Goldmouth, but the description of this character is much unlike common Cluricon characteristics.
Hmm.
They are also featured in the comic strip Arlo and Janice for March 17th, 2010 edition. And that is the Cluricon.
That is so interesting. I had never heard of it before.
Same. And I found so much on it. I was like, oh my God. Originally, I was going to do another one that I'm saving. I'm not going to talk about it because I'm going to save it for later.
That's fair.
But there were three different variations of the little people.
Mm-hmm. That was the other surprise. You said that the Clarecon is 6 inches tall, and I always pictured leprechauns as like a couple feet tall.
Like 3 feet?
Yeah, 2-3 feet tall.
Yeah, no, this is like a 6-inch person.
They would fit in your hand.
Yeah, and they apparently can drink a whole ton of libations.
Very interesting.
Magic. Crazy stuff. Yeah. I want to say welcome to all the new listeners. Welcome, welcome. Please, 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 if you have any suggestions or topics that we have not covered already that you would like to hear about, send us a message on Instagram or via our email. We will obviously put that out there sooner than later. We are still working on something for the 1 year anniversary of this podcast. So when we figure that out, we will let you all know. I'm sorry I haven't been posting as much art on my topics lately. I plan on kind of catching up on that.
Alrighty. And to close out, reminders everybody, make sure to check out our art for this week's entity on our Instagram at Coffee Table Mythos. If you want to share any art of your own of these beings, make sure to use our hashtag Coffee Table Mythos so that we and our followers can check them out. As always, if you have any stories or requests, please email us at coffeetablemythos@gmail.com. And remember to mention if you want a shout out of a name or handle, or if you'd like to remain anonymous. You can also find us on our Facebook page, Coffee Table Mythos, where you can message us as well.
Check out our merch on Teespring at teespring.com/store/coffee-table-mythos. We are adding more listings as we research more beings and make more art. If you would like to donate to us, you can on anchor.fm/coffee-table-mythos. All donations will go to making this podcast better. Thank you so much for listening. Please give us a like, follow, subscribe, share, and review our podcast if you have the time. We are interested in what you have to say. This is Coffee Table Mythos. We'll catch you next time.